There's a debate happening right now in some corners of Christianity. And maybe you've seen articles about this or have seen it on social media. Just this last week, an article was reprinted in the Seattle Times that originally ran in the Associated Press. And the debate is this. Some Christian voices are claiming that empathy, the very act of feeling with another person, is dangerous, even sinful. And their argument goes like this. If we let ourselves feel too much with another person, especially someone who is suffering, then we might lose our ability to discern right from wrong. We might end up excusing their choices. We might let compassion soften our convictions. So they conclude, empathy must be avoided. For example, Ali Beth Stuckey wrote Toxic Empathy. This is one of several books that have come out in the last year about the dangers of empathy. And she claims that empathy is being weaponized to sway people toward progressive causes like abortion rights and LGBTQIA plus affirmations. But when I hear that, I have to ask myself, what Bible are they reading? Because the Jesus we meet in the Gospels doesn't shrink away from empathy. He embodies it. He lives it. He places himself right in the middle of people's pain, and he refuses to look away. Take today's story from Luke. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and in walks this woman. She's been bent over for 18 years. 18 years of staring at the ground, unable to stand up tall. 18 years of being unseen, unacknowledged, and carrying this burden. Most of the people in society would have just looked right past her. She'd been living like this for so long that she probably just kind of faded into the background. She was a fixture there, not necessarily seen as a person. But not for Jesus. Jesus sees her. He calls her forward. He puts his hands on her. And he sets her free. And notice what happens next. The synagogue leader is indignant. He doesn't question the miracle. He doesn't even question the power that Jesus has. His problem is in the timing. Healing on the Sabbath violates the rules. It disrupts the order. It places compassion ahead of tradition. And that, for him, is unacceptable. But for Jesus, compassion can't wait. For Jesus, the woman's dignity comes before any other system. For Jesus, empathy is not a threat to holiness. Empathy is holiness. And then if we look back to our first reading from Jeremiah, long before Jesus was born, God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. But like most prophets, Jeremiah resists. He says, I'm only a boy. I don't know how to speak. He feels too small, too inadequate, too vulnerable to be a prophet for God. But God doesn't scold him for that. God doesn't tell him to toughen up. You can do it. God tells him, do not be afraid. I am with you. And then God reaches out and touches Jeremiah's mouth and puts words inside him. There is this deep connection between the two passages. Jeremiah's prophetic authority doesn't come from his strength. It comes from his vulnerability, from his willingness to be open to God and open to the pain of his people. Just like Jesus in the synagogue, Jeremiah's calling begins with empathy. And that's what makes this new claim that empathy is sinful so dangerous. Because what it really does, it protects those who are holding power. If we are forbidden to feel with others, then we don't have to acknowledge their suffering. We don't have to let their pain unsettle us. We can keep the rules neat and tidy, just like that synagogue leader while people were bent over in the back of the room. I just want you to think for a second about who suffers when empathy is dismissed. Refugees at the border, people without housing in our cities, women making decisions about their own bodies, LGBTQIA plus young people longing to be loved and affirmed, Black and brown communities carrying the weight of systemic racism. If empathy is a sin, then their voices can just be ignored. Their lives can remain unseen. Their pain can just be explained away. But the Gospels call us to something far riskier, something that I think is far, far more beautiful. The Gospels call to each one of us to see and to feel and to act, to let empathy pull us out of our comfort and into solidarity. To let compassion not only guide our emotions, but also our choices and our daily lives. And empathy is never just about feelings. If we look at Jesus again, he doesn't simply feel bad for this woman who is bent over. He calls her forward. He lays his hands on her. He heals her. Empathy moves him to action. Jeremiah, too, is not simply told to sympathize with the struggles of his people. He is sent to speak against the systems of injustice, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Empathy in Scripture is never passive. It's prophetic. So let's return to that claim that empathy is dangerous. I suppose in a way they are right. Empathy is dangerous. Dangerous to systems of oppression. Dangerous to leaders who value rules more than people. And dangerous to anyone who benefits from keeping others bent low. But to call empathy a sin just flips our gospel upside down, because if empathy is a sin, then Jesus himself was the greatest of sinners. And we know better than that. Here's what empathy really is. It is the way God's love takes flesh among us. It is the willingness to look someone in the eye and say, "Your suffering is not yours alone. I will carry it with you." It is the posture that lets us stand beside the bent over woman until she can stand tall again. And it is the spirit that empowers Jeremiah to speak even when his voice shakes. Empathy is not the enemy of holiness. It is holiness in practice. So if you hear those voices, voices that would tell you to harden your heart, to protect the rules, to stay safe and separate, remember Jeremiah. Remember Jesus. Remember the woman who stood up straight after 18 long years. And then ask yourself, who around me is still bent down low? who needs to be seen, to be lifted, to be loved? How can my empathy join with God's power to bring freedom and healing? Because that is our calling. That is our faith. And that is our gospel.